Hello, I'm Kathy Davidson, and I'd like to welcome you to our women's meeting. Join your faith with ours, and let's see God move, all right? Let's open with prayer. My Heavenly Father, we come to you with the blood of Jesus on us. Father, I thank you. We ask for a spirit of grace on this meeting now, in Jesus' name. We ask you for that spirit of grace, that you open our ears that we can hear, that you open our eyes that we can see, that you open our hearts like you did for Lydia, that we can attend unto the things which are spoken. Turn us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And oh Father, let us only see Jesus. Let all the glory go to him. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a women's meeting. We are learning how to walk with a meek and a quiet spirit. And these meetings are based on 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. But we're not going to go there. But I am going to go to John 10:35. We're going to need that today also. John 10:35, Jesus speaking. He said, if they called them gods unto whom the word of God came. And then this next phrase is what we want. And the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. You can be broken. You can be in unbelief, but the scripture cannot be. The scripture cannot be broken. If we have our faith, if we can put our faith in that word of God, we will get what we need. Now, if you will go with me, we are going to do something very interesting today. And you are going to leave here with something that your life is going to change today. Your life is going to change. It's going to turn just a little bit. And you're going to get an answer today that's going to help you in walking with Jesus. If you will turn with me to Luke 24, verse 44. Jesus is speaking. He has been raised from the dead. And he's talking to his disciples. And he said unto them, verse 34, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Concerning me. You know, when God opens your eyes to the gospel, you see it everywhere in the word of God. You see it everywhere when you read that gospel. You know that the whole world, Jesus was crucified from the foundation of the world. Before this world was even created, Jesus knew he was going to the cross for you. He knew he was going to die, he knew he was going to be buried, and he knew he was going to raise from the dead before Adam was even made. Thank God. Thank God. When he says that concerning the Psalms, concerning me, you will see in the Psalms where that gospel is. Jesus is in. I remember one day when God started opening us up to my eyes, there were only a few Psalms that I didn't see Jesus in. And he was probably there, I just hadn't seen him yet. But we're going to look at something that happened in the Psalms, something that'll minister to us. But before we go there, I want us to go to Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59, verse 2. The Lord is speaking here, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. You got that? Have you ever looked at that? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. The problem's not with God. The problem's not with God. This is the same God that stopped the earth from spinning so Joshua could get his job done. Boy, if he can stop the world from spinning, and then with Hezekiah, he made it go backwards 10 degrees, I think he can get you what you need. The problem's not with God. It's with us. Now, back to this. That it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But, there's that three-letter word. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Did you even know that you have a God? Did you even know that there was one? And this God is the God above all gods. This is the God that sits on the throne. This is the God that through Jesus made heaven and earth. This God is far above all gods. And this God says, because your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Your iniquities. You know, God can't look on iniquity. Your iniquities have gotten between you and him, and he's turned his face from you, and he will not hear. Now we go to the Psalms. I want you to go to Psalm 18 with me. This psalm, as we read, we know from 1 Peter that Peter said that the Spirit of Christ was in the prophets of old, and that God revealed the gospel to those prophets, and they wanted to see. They wanted to see those days. They never saw those days, but we saw those days. We saw the days that what they were prophesying about showed up on this earth. David especially, who was promised that the seed, that seed, that Jesus was going to come out of his loins, prophesied with the Spirit of Christ in him, talking about the grace that was coming. Can you imagine David with the Spirit of God on him saying, this is going to take place, this is coming? Do you know David prophesied this 1,000 years before Jesus even showed up? 1,000 years, God is talking. The Spirit of Christ in David is talking, and David is writing down what's going to happen 1,000 years from now. The grace of God that was coming. How wonderful those days for David must have been. Now, Psalm 18. This is Jesus. How do we know it's Jesus? Because in verse 5 it says, the sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. David didn't die, raise it from the dead, and start writing. David didn't die here. Somebody died here. We know it was Jesus that died. So this psalm is about Jesus. And there are some wonderful truths here for us to look at about Jesus. Verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Whoa. This is Jesus speaking through the prophet David. What do you mean Jesus has to have God as his strength? Why did Jesus say, I will love thee, O Lord, and that Lord is Yahweh, Jehovah. O Lord, my strength. Look where Jesus' strength was in. Look where his help was. It was in Jehovah. You know, we think that Jesus came to earth, this mighty man, this hero of strength and power, and that he walked with his own power. Jesus says himself over and over again, this power is not mine. It's not me. Jesus, when he left heaven, as it says in Philippians 2, he emptied himself of all his godly ability, all his godly powers, emptied himself and became just like you and I. Just like us. He had a body like ours. He had a soul like ours. He had temptations that he had to go through. It says in Hebrews that Jesus was tempted in every temptation. You know what it says in Peter? You can't tempt God at all. God can't be tempted. Jesus was tempted in every temptation. You know why? He wasn't a God anymore. He wasn't a God anymore. He laid that all down and came down here to walk like we do, to be our sacrifice. And to do that, he had to become us. He had to lay down that ability and he had to become us. That's why he had to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, so he could walk in the Spirit of God. He did not have that before he was baptized. He had no power. Jesus did no miracles at all until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He had to get the Spirit of God to walk in the power of God, just like we do. So now right here, he is saying in Psalm 18, he is saying, you're my strength. You're my strength. Jesus had to have God as his strength. You know what's wonderful about that? So do we. So do we. Jesus' words, if you will open your ears, Father, open our ears, you will see what a man, how a man walked with God, how we can walk with God. And you know what's amazing about this? Jesus is saying this, and when we read this, we will see that it's the dead man Jesus talking here. It is the man Jesus in hell. The man Jesus in hell paying for me, paying for you with my sin and your sin on him. And he's talking, and he's talking through the prophet David, and he's telling us exactly what is going on when he was in hell. Isn't it a wonder? Isn't it a blessing? We can hear, we can see what was going on in Jesus' soul when he was in hell paying for you and I. He said, the Lord, verse 2, is my rock. He needed him. He was a man. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust. Jesus didn't do this on his own. He couldn't. There was a man in hell paying for us. There was a man's soul in hell. And right here, where is his trust? It's not in his ability. He has none. Psalm 22 says, I have no strength. Why? His strength in his body had to be poured out. He said, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler. That's a shield. In the horn of my salvation and my high tower, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. You mean Jesus didn't save himself? Look at those words. Jesus said, so shall I be saved from my enemies. How was Jesus going to be saved from his enemies? He was looking to God to save him. He was looking to the Father to save him. Do you see that's how we do it? Do you see that's how we do it? What does it say in Isaiah? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And what was Jesus looking for? He was looking for that spirit. He had no power. He had no might. He was paying for us in hell. That man in hell at this moment is a sinner. The worst. Jesus died the adulterer. Jesus died the child beater. Jesus died the abortionist. Jesus died the murderer. Jesus died the wife beater. Jesus died the extortioner. Jesus died the con man. Jesus died the thief. Jesus died the covetous. Jesus died the idolater. He died all those things. It says the Father laid our iniquities on him. And he took it as a man. He took it as a man. I am not belittling Jesus. I am telling you that the word of God cannot be broken. And it says Jesus took it as a man. He had a man's body. He had a man's soul. But in him was the spirit of Jesus. No power, but the spirit of Jesus. That's the wonderful thing right there. The spirit of Jesus. The spirit that was with the Father in heaven is the one he said, I left heaven and I came down here. The spirit of Jesus was in that body. And you know what's the wonderful thing as we read that? If you were born again, the spirit is in you. That same spirit that we're reading here is in you if you were born again, if you will believe it. He is in you. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In me. And this is the one we got in us. Back to this. Verse 3, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. Can you imagine Jesus afraid in hell? He had your sin on him. He was afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. He could not get out. He couldn't get out of hell, and he couldn't get away from death. They had him. You see, when you read in Revelation, there are two spirits, death and hell. And here, death and hell have a hold of Jesus. How did they get a hold of him? He was carrying your sin. The wages of sin is death. That's how death could get him. That's how death could get him. He had your sin on him. He said, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried unto my God. I cried unto my God. Jesus was not silent while he was in hell. But now I want to show you something interesting. We read before in Isaiah where he could not hear us because of our iniquities. Turn with me to Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. Thou hearest not. If you continue to read Psalm 22, you will find that this is Jesus on the cross. You know, people have said, they've sung that silly song, when Jesus was on the cross, he was thinking of me. No, he wasn't. He was trying to get this done. He was trying to get Psalm 22 done. Done. There were things that had to happen, and he had his set heart set. It says his heart head was set like flint. He had to get this accomplished. He had to get the cross accomplished. Why? He had to do it for you. His love for you. His love for you. Oh, when he went there, he knew what we were. And he loved us anyway. And the Father knew what we were. And the Father sent him. And Jesus said, I'll go. And Jesus went to the cross. And it says in Isaiah that the Father laid all our iniquity on Jesus. That's when Jesus became sin. He became sin. He became everything that I did. He became everything I did. The Father took it from me. And he put it on Jesus. And he took everything that you did and he put it on Jesus. You think that's love? You think that's love to take everything that you've done? Because God so loved you, he took what you did and he put it on Jesus. And Jesus gladly took it. But now here in Psalm 22, he is saying, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. Jesus is on the cross crying out to God, and God doesn't hear him. How do we know that? What's the first verse? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake Jesus? Isaiah, what did we read? Because your iniquities, I have turned my back, and I will not hear. When your iniquity and my iniquity went on the body of Jesus, he turned his back on Jesus. He had to. He knew he was going to. He had to forsake his own son. He had to turn his back on his own son. And he would not hear him. He could no longer hear him. Why couldn't he hear Jesus? Because he had your iniquity and my iniquity on him. God put it on him, and then he turned his back. And he would not hear. And it says it right here in the Psalms. You wouldn't hear me. He said, I cried in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And I'm in the night season and am not silent. I'm crying, but you don't hear me. You don't hear me. Now, Jesus dies. Go with me to Psalm 88. Psalm 88 is a wonderful psalm about Jesus in hell. On your devotional time, the time that you're with the Lord, read these Psalms, see Jesus in here, hear the Spirit of Christ ministering to your heart. I'm going to not read the whole Psalm, but let's go to verse 9. Jesus is speaking here. He's in hell. Ever wonder what he thinks about on the cross or on hell? Read the Psalms and you'll find. Psalm 88, verse 9. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. You're not hearing me. It says, will thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee? Shall the loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord. And in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Why cast off my soul? Why hide your face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. Do you see when Jesus knew he was going to the cross? When he came here as a man from his youth. While I suffer thy tares, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy tares have cut me off. They come daily about me like water. They'll compass me about altogether. Lover and friend has I put far from me, and mine acquaintance in the darkness. The wrath of God is overflowing on over Jesus. The wrath of God is flowing over Jesus. He knows it. And you know why? So the wrath of God won't be on us. Jesus is taking the wrath for your sin that you and I deserve. We deserve where he is here in this psalm. We deserved to go to hell. We deserved to pay in hell for our sins. But God so loved us, he sent his son there instead. He sent his son with your sin there instead. You know why? He knew this one could do it. He knew this one could overcome hell and death. And he knew we couldn't. You know why he knew Jesus could? Because he was built to do it. When he came to earth as a man, he had his spirit in him. Don't forget that. He had his spirit in him. The Proverbs say a spirit can keep a man up. A spirit can keep the man up in illness. The spirit of Jesus kept Jesus conscious on the cross, kept Jesus praying in hell, kept Jesus looking forward, getting what was needed done on the cross done. Why? So we could be forgiven. So we could be justified. So we could be healed. So we could be made prosperous. So we could be safe. Now, turn back with me to Psalm 18. The Father has turned his back on Jesus. The Father will not hear him. Now, Psalm 18. I'm going to go to verse 4. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried unto my God. And look what happens here in this verse. He heard my voice out of his temple. He heard my voice. Psalm 22, he wouldn't hear. Psalm 88, he wouldn't hear. Psalm 18, he hears. He hears. He hears the voice of Jesus. Why? Isaiah 53, verse 10. Let's go there. Isaiah 53, verse 10. I'm going to get that verse in your heart. Verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. Now shall make his soul for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of Jesus' soul. He sees Jesus now in hell, paying for me, paying for you. He sees that travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. We have reached the point 3 days later, when the Father now is satisfied that the sin, your sin and my sin, has been paid for. It's been paid for. You know how we know it's been paid for? The Father hears. Now the Father hears him. Can you imagine the joy of God hearing him? You know, I remember Apollo 12, was it? No, Apollo 13. When they lost all contact with the earth. They were on the other side of the moon. Their oxygen tank had exploded. We weren't sure if they were ever coming back. And they had to go around the moon, and they went into silence. We didn't know if we were going to hear from them ever again. And I was in seventh grade. I remember in front of that TV set praying on my knees as a 12-year-old saying, "Oh, Jesus, get them here. Get them home." And I remember when they got to the other side of the moon and they called for NASA. Was it Houston? They said, "Houston," and all the world smiled. We heard their voices. And then when they landed, and they had to go through our atmosphere, and they made calculations. They thought maybe we had it, but they weren't sure that they were going to make it through the atmosphere. There was a good chance that they would have been burned up. They weren't sure they had the right projections. They weren't sure how much damage was done to the ship. And they went back into silence. And I remember for 4 minutes, 4 minutes watching and praying, "Are we going to ever hear from again?" And they constantly sent out messages, "Do you hear us? Do you hear us? Do you hear us?" Total silence. It went past the time that they said that they were going to hear them. I remember it was like a minute or two past. It was like eternity. I remember sitting there listening to the TV. I had to turn all the way up. I wanted to hear that God brought him home. And finally, I heard one of the directors say, "We got him. We got him." And then they said, "Houston." And they came home. Can you imagine the Father? Knowing his son was paying for your sin and my sin. Waiting till he was satisfied that that sin was paid for, and then he hears. And then he can hear the cries of Jesus. And what does he do? "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also the hill moved and were shaken because he was wroth," the Father. "Therefore went up smoke out of his nostrils, fire his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. He bowed, the heavens also came down, darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and did fly, yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. With the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomforted them." What is he doing? He's coming to get his son. He's coming to get his son. He's satisfied with what Jesus did for us, and he's coming to get him. 15, "Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils." He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. The spirit of hell, the spirit of death, and all those other spirits were too strong for Jesus. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And that spirit of God went into hell, picked up Jesus and drew him out, put him back in that body. Why? The sin has been paid for. He can hear him. He could hear him. Do you know that Jesus' sacrifice opened up the ears of God to us? That sacrifice opened up the ears of God to us. Why? The iniquity had been paid for. Turn with me to 1 John. With all this, I want you to consider these verses. The Apostle John speaking in 1 John 5, verse 13. And he speaks, "These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God," and that's our Jesus. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to God's will, he hears us. He hears us. How can he hear us? The iniquity has been paid for. The iniquity has been paid for. God's ears are open to our cry. His ears were opened by Jesus. Our iniquity has been paid for. It says he heareth us. And if we ask anything, and this is the confidence we have in him, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, and whatsoever we ask, we know we have the petitions that we desire of him. Do you see that? God's ears are open. That verse says right there, and the scripture cannot be broken. If you ask anything that is the will of God, he hears you and you get it. Do you have enough courage to believe that? And you say to yourself, well, what's the will of God? What did Jesus purchase for you on the cross? What did God send him to do? What is God's will? That you are forgiven, that you are justified, that you are sanctified, that you are redeemed, that you are healed, that you are made prosperous, that you live in safety. All of those things Jesus purchased for us on the cross when he satisfied the Father concerning us. When he satisfied the Father, all those things were given to us. Were given to us. What's missing? All we have to do is believe it. And it says right here that he hears us. Do you know he hears you? Do you know he hears your cry? Well, he's not answering. Then cry again. Then cry again. Oh, we're only supposed to ask once. Then what's the unjust judge for? You cry until you know he's heard you. And you know how you know he's heard you? It's done. You feel it in here and then you watch it happen. But that word that cannot be broken promises his ear is open. His ear was opened by Jesus. His ear is open. And when we ask anything in his will, we get it. We get it. I've had so many people, do you think it's God's will that I be healed? No. He already healed you. It's already been paid for. The only thing you got to do is go get it. It's already been paid for. The only thing you have to do is go get it. And you get it with your faith. You get it with your faith. Just like I said, not by might. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We ask believing. And just like it happened to Jesus, the Spirit of the Lord will bring it to pass. We ask believing, and the Spirit of the Lord brings it to pass. It's not our doing. It's the Spirit of the Lord's doing. The Spirit of the Lord brings it to pass. Now, do you want that Jesus that managed hell, that got through hell, that didn't stop crying in hell, that got the Father's ear in hell, that satisfied us in hell, that was raised from the dead. And not only that, God brought him up to heaven and glorified him. It says in John 17, he got all the glory he had before he left, before this earth was even made. He got all his glory back and more. And more, seated at the right hand of God. That's the Jesus that is in you if you are born again. That's the Jesus that has all the power, that has all the authority. That is what's in you when you are born again. Do you want to be born again? Then repeat after me. Get him in your heart. Jesus, come into my life. Be Lord of my life. Be Lord. Come in to my life. Come into my heart. Show me that you've been raised from the dead. Lead me. Guide me. Fix me. And I ask this in your name. Amen. And it says, if you ask anything by the will of God, you got it. You got it. I don't feel it. Doesn't matter. The word says you got it. And the scripture cannot be broken. Stand on that. Amen? Amen. If we have the courage, if we have the courage, if we have the guts to believe that verse, we can have anything that Jesus bought for us on the cross. If we have the courage to go after it, if we, I love how Smith Wigglesworth says, the audacity to go after it, there won't be another prayer of ours unheard. Do we have the courage to believe that verse? Do we have the fortitude to stay with it until we see it with our eyes? Do we have the trust in God like Jesus did? He had to trust God in hell. He had to trust that God was going to fulfill what God told him when he was in the lowest part of hell. He said, what is it in Psalm 16? That thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not. You got that? Thou will not leave my soul in hell. You know what? The same thing is for us. Thou will not give me this. It's been purchased for me. And you know what? The wonderful thing about that is God delights when we do that. He delights when we do that. He rejoices when we use our faith and get what he already bought for us. Amen. Father, I thank you for your grace now on us. Father, I thank you. It is not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that your Spirit of grace be on all of us. As we go forth today, Father, I thank you, your Spirit of grace on us now, ministering the power of that resurrection, the power of that gospel. Father, I thank you. And any that God is ministering to right now, Father, I thank you that your power is on them. I thank you. We join our faith with you to get you delivered. I thank you. Amen. See you next week.
Thank you for joining Kathy Davidson and the ministers of music from Water of Life Church. She would love to hear from you. You may reach her by email at kd@kdwol.com. Or you may write her at Kathy Davidson, care of Water of Life Church, Post Office Box 861-327, Plano, Texas, 75086. You may find her on the internet at www.kdwol.com. And on Facebook and Twitter. Until next time, God bless.